Hello, I am Nate Bauer. He is Sean Fitz. This is the Blue White Illustrated Daily Edition. We are talking Penn State Northwestern this weekend. We're going to talk about a number of different things that have happened this week. Let's get right into it.
Fitz.
What's up, buddy?
We don't have time for catchy intros.
But it's crockpot season. I figured you would spend a good 5 minutes at the beginning of this episode talking about what you got in the crockpot.
I did make a pot roast on Monday, and it was a delight. So thank you so much for your interest. I appreciate that. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's an interesting week because it got cool at the end of last week. We've got some potential rain in the forecast for Penn State Northwestern on Saturday. So, you know, that's bringing down our vibe a little bit, but I think we're doing okay. Covering the team throughout the week. I think it's,
stop acting like the weather is the elephant in the room, because it's not. There is an elephant in the room and we have to address it. Sean, should I talk about it?
I thought that was the setup.
That was the setup. Okay, so
What you told me you were going to do before the episode went on the air.
So for those who have not been following along and diving deep into the depths of message board world, only a dollar to join at Blue White Illustrated, the Lion's Den. It's where it's at. So there has been some speculation rampant this week that Penn State quarterback, sixth year, Sean Clifford, might not be available or might not be used, coach's decision, on Saturday for Northwestern. And this is all based on an Instagram post from Denai Dennis Sutton on, I believe it was Monday, in which he had a caption over a picture of Alar saying QB1. I want to make sure that I quote this directly or correctly, I should say. And so from that post, things kind of started to trickle, right? And I think I looked for some things. Sean looked for some things. We had some conversations, and the consensus among us, you know, whether it was people on the message board claiming to have information or just things that we noticed, is that it's not totally out of the question, right? Like there wasn't a complete denial or a complete rejection of this notion. And so if you parse some of the words that James Franklin said on Tuesday, you parse some of the answers that he had on Wednesday, and let's be honest about this, some of the questions that were asked on Tuesday and Wednesday were in a very roundabout way an opportunity to get him to touch on or discuss somewhat the possibility of this being the case. So that being said, hopefully I explained that appropriately and correctly. Sean, what's your take? Where do you think this is in terms of, Drew Alar potentially being the starting quarterback for Penn State on Saturday?
Well, it's also important to notice we went out to practice on Wednesday night. Sean Clifford leading the team through drills seemed to be moving around fine. There's been talk, is his knee bothering him again? Sean Clifford's taken a beating over the last couple of years. I don't think it's any surprise there. Yeah. And it's just, the conspiracy theorist in you thinks there's a bye week next week. So, either if you do get him into the game, get him in and out and see what you've got, because you want to play Drew Aller. I mean, there's no secret about that. James Franklin's been up front that he wants to get him in the game more. The situation hasn't quite, presented him with that chance yet. And it didn't again last week against Central Michigan, when I thought we'd see him in the first half, like we thought we'd see in the Ohio game. It's weird though, because as you mentioned, they had a chance to squash this. They were aware going into the press conference that this was going to be asked. And it was just a really interesting set of, I'll go back to vibes from the program this week, because it's, I don't think you can look at that and say, it doesn't make a little bit of sense, So
yeah.
It's just a really weird situation, because you have the ability to say that your 6 year quarterback is a starter and nobody thinks anything of it. Yeah. But when you've got the 5-star freshman in the wings who's played well when he's been in there, obviously as we've documented, has a long way to go. I mean, he's a really, really good quarterback prospect, but he's going to need time. He's going to need reps, but these reps might be available. Northwestern's coming into town, coming off of two straight losses to two straight losses to what we would consider inferior competition in Southern Illinois and Miami, Ohio last week. So you think, kind of like we've thought going into Ohio, going into Central Michigan, this would be the opportunity to get him out there. And let's talk about the other elephant in the room, that Drew Aller came in as a five-star prospect. A lot of those guys play right away. This is a new era in college football. So this is something you want to keep your guys happy. It's easier to keep Nick Singleton happy, rotating him through with backs. With a quarterback, you've got one ball. You can't do that. So I think it's just a very interesting scenario. And I found it very odd, you know, James Franklin on the record on Tuesday, not just completely stopping that. People that I've talked to, just, you know, it's a lot of, I won't say misdirection, but like,
yeah, it's
a lot, it's more, you know, people have been a lot more upfront. So we're quizzical in nature here on the Blue White Illustrated podcast. You and I, curious, a couple of cats cutting it up. It's just one of those things that's just, it seems to be there, but it's,
yeah,
he's not going to come out. And part of me, you know, college coaches, paranoid as all hell. Like this is what they do. They are paranoid about everybody finding out and getting a potential advantage. You know, does that help Sean Clifford's case to play this week? I mean, there's just so many questions out there.
Right.
I'm glad we're talking it out, because it's us running around in circles all week, and it's not reportable stuff. It's not reportable information, nothing we're going to put out there saying one guy starting or the other, because it's not that concrete. And I think it's a really interesting way to look at this entire week.
Yeah, it's certainly, it has been a dance of sorts, right? Like there's no real denial, but also there's plenty of evidence to suggest that, you know, that this is maybe a seed that has been planted elsewhere that has grown into more of a story than it actually is. But again, I mean, I'm sitting here on Thursday, and I think you are as well, saying to yourself, hey, if Drew comes out and is the first quarterback, only quarterback, top quarterback on Saturday, nobody will be surprised. I will not be surprised. You will not be surprised. But also, if it's Sean Clifford, same. Right? Like neither of those scenarios, I think, would surprise us. So,
and I think it's important. You've got the bye week on the other end of this. So if there is a situation where somebody's banged up, 2 weeks is a lot better than one in terms of taking a full game's worth of punishment. It makes sense. Michigan then needs to prepare for some other things. So from a strategic standpoint, it also makes sense. Here we go conspiracy theory again.
Yeah, I did some Zapruder film evaluation of the game on Saturday to what?
No, we spent way too much time trying to talk ourselves into this. So no,
I'm only saying that, one, Sean Clifford took more hard hits against Central Michigan than I had recalled from the in-game viewing experience.
He got
banged around, but also on the other end of the spectrum, it didn't appear to me as though there was a definitive moment where he got up so slow or got up, you know what I mean, so gingerly as to suggest that there was a serious problem from anything that would have occurred in that game. So that's where we're at. All of which is to say, we spent 10 minutes telling you absolutely nothing. It might be real. It might not. We're going to find out, I think, on Saturday. Beyond that, however, certainly we saw some other things on Wednesday at practice. I know that there are a couple of defensive linemen that people are still interested in learning about. Where do things stand there?
The tone when James Franklin was asked about Smith Vilbert by himself on Tuesday, because that's also an interesting point, is Smith Vilbert and Keziah Izzer had sort of been tied at the hip because it's seemingly a same situation. He was asked about Vilbert on Tuesday, said he wants to sit down, talk with him before he announces anything, etc. Then he was asked about Keziah Izzer after practice on Wednesday, and it was kind of a different tone. It was, maybe we'll get that worked. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but maybe we'll get that worked out this week. And, you know, he seemed to open the door more for Kaziah Izzard. I think the challenging thing there is Izzard was in 99, which he always, you know, that's his number. Smith-Vilbert was in 99, which is it's also a member of Northwestern's defensive line. So I don't know that you could take away and say that Izzard was on the scout team or not in the 20 minutes of practice or whatever that we saw. So there's still questions about his availability. I got it right now. It's possible. We'll see how this plays out this week. It's possible, he said about Izzard. So that to me left the door open a little bit more. So probably it's time to separate the conversation about Vilbert, about Izzard, and make them sort of their own thing. I think Izzard could help them in terms of their depth up front, especially defensive tackle, where they've rolled five guys through. And Izzard got some starting experience last year. I think if you're looking at these two strictly as impact players at their respective positions, I think Izzard would be the bigger guy to get back than Vilbert, yeah, especially with the way that Amin Vanover has played and Dennis Sutton has played at defensive end. So found that interesting. It seems like Izzard on the precipice of maybe making a return. Vilbert seemed a little bit more open to interpretation, but not.
Yeah. Yeah. Another guy who certainly, I think everybody is anxiously awaiting in Penn State world whether or not he's going to return is Hunter Norzad. I think that, you know, we were able to kind of gather on Wednesday night that he was back at practice. So that's something. And then certainly James Franklin on Tuesday and Wednesday, both of those days, he addressed questions about Norzad and more or less had the same answer, which was simply that Norzad could have played last week against Central Michigan. He warmed up with the team, but didn't play, and that they felt as though if they were able to get away with it, not playing him against Central Michigan, it would open the door to him being available this week. I think it's going to be, again, potentially a similar situation. You don't want to, like, so much of the conversation that I think has happened this week, whether it's Clifford, Norzad, others, is with this built-in expectation that Penn State's going to roll in this game, right? This is an opportunity where you don't necessarily have to play all of your best players, even if your best players are less than 100%. And certainly there's been a little bit, again, of a dance in terms of Penn State and James Franklin saying, hey, you know, you got to win the game. You still want to go 1-0 this week. So that's something that they're going to have to resolve.
They did that last week with Norzad, with Kevon Lee, as they brought him out. They put him in pads and labeled them with, if he needed to play, you know, using the finger quotes here, if he needed to play, they would have been available. So I think that just gives you one more week as in terms of rehabbing, getting back where you need to be. So if they were that close to playing last week, you feel pretty decent about them being able to go this week.
Yeah. Should be noted, Kevon Lee was dressed and practicing last night on Wednesday, whereas the week earlier he was not.
But also that bye week is looming as well. So if Norzad doesn't play on Saturday, that's an extra week to get ready for Michigan, which you could argue is a good thing to do. They also, Penn State wants to redshirt JB Nelson. I know he played last week. It's just his second game. They didn't put him in the Auburn game for those reasons, because they wanted to preserve that redshirt and use him in an emergency basis. Probably the wrong word there, emergency basis, but see what he's got. And they seem pleased with the way that he played against Central Michigan, but they would like to, he's got 4 years to play three, like to maximize that eligibility, get a redshirt on him, and then have three more years with him, because that's a really opportunistic. That's a really, really good opportunity for Nelson to mature, to get stronger, and to use that extra year that is possible for him. Nate, did I lose you?
I lost you, but we're back. Router issues.
You just got a new router this week. It should be taken care of.
One more guy that we need to mention, Tyler Warren was not at practice we saw 20 minutes of practice, but something to keep in mind and to note. Central Michigan, just let's touch on this real quick. Where do you think this team is? Where do you think Penn State is coming out of last week going into this game?
I think it's a, I think it was a good experience for them. I mean, you obviously want to put up 60 and roll them, especially if you get out of the gate 14-0 in the early goings. But I think it's a good experience to get smacked in the mouth like they did, play a defense as aggressive as Central Michigan. And you know, just that's a MAC team that tried to bring it to you. You were able to win by a comfortable margin. So you're feeling good about that, but coming off of a big win at Auburn against an SEC team, maybe feeling a little bit better about yourself than you should have been. And I think that's a very grounded win right there. And I think that is something that they can benefit from. They can also take a look at the tape and patch some things up, because, you know, they're a top 10 team now, and they've got holes, you know, most, if not every top 10 team still has some things to work on. So maybe get a little bit exposed in a game where you win by 19 is a pretty good thing. So I like that. You know, still work to do on the running game. Thought Catron Allen played a heck of a game. Those corners are something, man. Like there's just go to a different one every week. Kalen King, just phenomenal player. That'll be very interesting. We're going to talk about Northwestern here in a little bit, because Northwestern does throw the ball a lot, but I think it gave you an opportunity to sort of reflect on maybe you're not as good as you think you are. And that's probably a good thing for this team.
Yeah, no, it certainly sets up well for Penn State going into this game against the Northwestern team that's struggling. We'll, like you said, touch on that in just a moment. But before we do, got to shout out our sponsor here for the show. Have you been looking for a reliable source of Penn State football tickets? Jim at TixmanJim.com, formerly at PSUTixman.com, has been running his ticket exchange in Wilmington, Delaware for over 25 years. Every buyer is handled with courtesy, respect, and every ticket purchase is guaranteed. Proceeds are used to fund the PSUAA Chapter Scholarship Fund and the PSU Levi Lamb Fund for athletic scholarships. Get the Ohio State game, Stripe Out, Minnesota White Out Homecoming tickets, all from Tixman Jim. Go to www.tixmanjim.com or email Jim directly at tixmanjim@gmail.com, or you can call him at 302-521-8380. As always, much, much, much appreciation to Jim at Tixman Jim for his support of the show. Moving on, Northwestern is a program that has a head coach that a lot of people respect. Tons of respect out there for Pat Fitzgerald. But, you know,
we respect him as well. No, you can add that.
Yeah, but, I respect him.
But, come on.
They're having some issues currently as a program. And so that right now in the present tense means a 1-3 start to the season, despite a win in Ireland. I believe that game was in Ireland, right? Dublin over Nebraska to start the season. Obviously, since then, we've come to understand that Nebraska is a train wreck. And then following that win, they lost. Hindenburg. Since that game, Northwestern has lost 31-23 to Duke at home, 31-24 to Southern Illinois at home, and then most recently last week in a game that they lost at the very end, lost to Miami of Ohio also at home. So three straight losses in a row at home for Northwestern, 17-14. So what do you make of this Northwestern team and where they're at right now?
That is a great question, because you look at the tape and some good things pop up. Their tackle, Peter Skoronski, really, you know, top 15 pick, top 20 pick maybe in the NFL draft next year. So there's spots where they have talent, but there's going to be issues here. Northwestern is in the top 10 in the country in pass attempts. That's not something you've ever heard before. Like Northwestern is a program built on blue collar, running the football, et cetera. Ryan Helinski is going to come out and throw a lot. And now a lot of that has been out of necessity. They've played from behind and really they're in kind of a reeling spot. And I don't think it's the most efficient use of their time for what they have offensively, but they're going to throw a lot. The downside to being top 10 in attempts or passes thrown this year, I think they're third in the country or third last in the country in yards per attempt. So not a ton of big plays coming either. This is an offense that doesn't really score that much. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard Nate in the past talk about the importance of scoring points, but for all the complaining about that we've done about Penn State on this end, Northwestern is struggling as well. So I think they've got some pieces. I'll be very interested to see if the weather plays a factor. We're talking rain, you know, the end of the bands of rain that could come up from the hurricane. But this is a game that I think they would like to shorten, like run the football, shorten it. Yep. And maybe slog their way through it. And, you know, our predictions, which we'll get to in a little bit, are a little bit lower scoring than we're used to seeing. But this is also another game that Penn State has a distinct talent advantage on both sides of the ball. And they should have the opportunity, if you can break off a couple of those big runs, an opportunity to put some distance between them and the Wildcats fairly quickly.
Yeah, I think one thing stands out to me, and not that this is, you know, some crazy insight, but this is an opponent for Penn State where building an early lead, I think, becomes important, but can really magnify and help speed up the process, right, of getting away from Northwestern to a point where Northwestern can't catch up. This is not a Northwestern team that is built to play from behind. And so, you know, I think if you're Penn State and you look at the quarterback and you look at your defensive backs, you say to yourself, hey, this is prime opportunity season to create turnovers, to create interceptions, to really maximize that unit. But you want to, for as much as Northwestern has thrown the ball, again, based on what you just said, it has been from a position where they have needed to. And so I think that if you have the opportunity to get them into those situations early in the game, it just sets up very, very well for Penn State to maximize what it's good at on both sides of the ball, right? Because certainly defensively, you can take advantage of potentially some turnover opportunities, but also if you're Penn State's offense, right? Quick strike offense, clearly, again, the weather might play a factor in that. But also you have an opportunity to run the ball against the defense. Really, you could do either thing against this Northwestern defense. I think that the numbers spell that out, which, if I may, 82nd in total defense, 91st in rushing defense, 74th in passing yards allowed, 70th in team passing efficiency defense, and 81st in scoring defense. Like, there's nothing good. Nothing good on its face. But then you look at the opponents that this has come against and at home. I mean, look at the disgust on your face, Sean. It's just...
I was just looking at the Big Ten defensive stats. They're 13th of 14. In terms of yards allowed in rushing, and they give up 161 yards per game. Nebraska, who is their only Big Ten opponent to date, has given up 233 yards per game. And there's obviously a big gap there, but that was the disgust on my face. But 4.4 yards per carry, Penn State, namely Nick Singleton and Katron Allen should be able to do something with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think on the defensive side of the ball, obviously we just mentioned, kind of the points that they've allowed. One thing that stands out typically, and again, this is kind of a traditional stereotype, but Northwestern teams have typically been fairly physical, that right? I mean, that mm-hmm. they are willing to bring it to you. You know, was last weekend a wake-up call for Penn State to that end? Because I did think one of the things that stood out about Penn State from the Auburn game was James Franklin talking afterwards about how he had felt like that game in particular gave Penn State a boost in that department, in being a more physical team, that he wanted that to be an identity that Penn State had as a team. And so he was kind of trying to foster that and give it praise. He talked specifically about Sean Clifford being able to bounce back from one of the hits that he took early in that game. I don't know that we could say that happened last week, right, for Penn State in terms of its physicality. Where do you, where do you kind of see this one in terms of what Penn State will have to do in terms of a physicality department based on certainly the matchups itself, but also maybe how the weather might come into play a little.
Yeah. I mean, I think going back to what I just said, they're going to have to run the football. You look at Northwestern, who has the tape that Central Michigan put out in front of you, attack with numbers. And that's something that Penn State's got to take advantage of. So while we talk about running the football, it's about catching them in the right looks and then maybe slipping it down the seam, getting it over top, they don't have the extra tackler in the secondary, maybe breaking something long like that. So that's can turn that into an extension of your run game. Be interesting to see if they get Keandre Lambert Smith the ball a little bit more to maybe shake one of those. And he's had success with it in the past. So you just look at Northwestern, nothing's overly scary. You look at the efficiency ratings in the Big Ten, 11th in offense, 11th in defense. So consistent, you know, but not good. It's an opportunity for Penn State, and we said it in a couple of games this season. We have the habit of maybe comparing Northwestern right now, given the slide that they're on, the way that they've played, more to one of the MAC teams than one of the Big Ten teams or the SEC team that Penn State has played. So I think that'll, you know, not that any of that matters, but Penn State should be able to out-athlete them and really make some things work. That's great. But you also have to out execute them. And that's really where Penn State's holes have been is the lack of execution, a lack of, knowing which hat to get on when you're pulling and just little things like that. And those are the things you need to clean up before October, because everybody knows what's waiting on the other side of that bye weekend. So this is, and you don't want to call it a tune-up because it's not a tune-up. It's a Big Ten game. You know, you've got an opportunity to improve your record in the Big Ten, and that's what matters here. Nail down those things. I hesitate to say get more physical because I don't know that that's like a thing. Like, we can say they got to be nastier, they got to be tougher. It's not really a thing. You don't go out there and coach it, and you don't grit your teeth harder and block harder and all that kind of stuff. It's about staying on top of what you need to do and executing. And that's really where Penn State, you know, they fell behind. They didn't fall behind in the game, but went from 14-0 to 14-14 and just kind of went into neutral. And that's the thing that you've got to avoid. And that, then you get sloppy in execution, and that trickles down to, you know, the extra first down that you could have had and field position, you know, so there's so many things that come from it. It's just, you got to stay sharp and execute. And if you do that, you should win this football game.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, look, like, cliche as it may be, last week for Penn State probably plays nicely into that. Right, is that if there was a time for a wake-up call going into a game like this, at just about every matchup, Penn State should have an advantage and should be able to dispatch with this team fairly efficiently, I think is the way to put it, while respecting certainly what Northwestern brings to the table. We got some picks. Fitz, where you at?
I'm at 35-10, and last week I predicted, I think, 52 points, and that did not happen. So I'm back on the conservative side of things. Very interesting stat I looked up on Wikipedia. Penn State won 49-0 against Northwestern in 2002, which also happened to be my freshman year in college. I think that might have been yours as well. And since then, they've won 7 times, 7 out of 10, and they've scored in the 30s every time they've won. And you think some of those Northwestern teams, not very good. Some of them actually pretty quality teams, but nothing in the 40s, nothing in the 20s. You win this game, it would be in the 30s. And it's just doesn't mean a thing as a stat. It's just a coincidence, but I think it's just the type of game that these programs play. And then you introduce the weather into it. You talk about Northwestern wanting to shorten the game and really slog is a word that we're going to use probably a couple times this weekend. I think that's the way I see it playing out.
Yep. And shout out to T Frank, who texted me, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday of this week, and just said, hey, this is going to be a quick one, right? Because you know that that's going to be the approach. Like, Northwestern, it behooves Northwestern to shorten this game as much as possible. And so just based on possessions alone, I think you're probably going to see lower scoring than you would otherwise. Tack on, you know, a hurricane to it, and you know, that might be where those numbers play out. I've got 38-10, so I'm a little bolder in my pick, but
you also added a Jake Penninger field goal in there.
we'll see what happens.
That is something that you've got to clean up, and you've got to clean it up fast. And that's not just the field goal kicking. It's the place kicking. James Franklin talked about that a couple times this week. Now they're not happy with that. So on one hand, you're doing great on the punting side of special teams. On the other hand, you've got a ton to clean up in the kicking game, because it's going to be very, very important next month.
Yeah, you can't. When I look at that topic, and I'll be very brief about this, I see the misses, right? But I also see the blocks and how easy those have come. And so you cannot simply put it on Jake Pinniger.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is a totality thing. Somebody in the YouTube comments said that I was making excuses for Jake Pinniger. It's not that at all. Jake Pinniger, obviously, he was
not on Pinniger. That was in the blocking. I mean, dude came untouched up the middle. Like, of course, he's going to block that kick.
Correct. And so just as a whole, Stacey Collins is actually talking today. I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about that. And how that has gone so far this season. But yeah,
you should plug your Instagram reel for Stacey Collins too, because that was great.
Yeah, the Blue White Illustrated Instagram. If you haven't followed it, you should start following it. Fitz, I think that's it for us. $1 for your subscription for the first year at Blue White Illustrated. Always remind people for that. If you're watching this video live, we should have mentioned it 30 minutes ago, but please don't hesitate to donate to the channel. We always appreciate your support. Like it, subscribe to it, set alerts. If there's anything that you can do to support us, we always, always appreciate it. So thank you, Fitz, for your time. Hope everybody has a good time at the game on Saturday, and we will be back with you on Saturday afternoon with our recap.